light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. There's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. There's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Yes, there's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, shine. Oh, there's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. There's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. May we know that together.
That's the great, great late folk singer Odetta with This Little Light, performed at a holiday concert at Fordham University in 2005. She was an extraordinary woman. In fact, Bob Dylan credits her with his leaning toward folk singing. Interesting, small world. You never know who's connected to whom and in what way. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and a whole bunch of lights were shining on Saturday. More than a million lights were shining on Saturday, not only in Washington, D.C., but in 616 sister marches in other cities and around the world for women's rights, and also to serve notice on their intention to aggressively pursue those rights. I was very pleased, very, very pleased indeed, not only for the extraordinary showing, but because it was the embodiment of all the things that we've been talking about coming to a point of reckoning, not only with a system, but also with our individual selves. What is this thing that we call politics? How prepared are we to take on the burden? Are we willing to do it? And it was a monumental demonstration that there's great hope here. There's great reason to feel that there is a new energy in the air, and there's much more, I think, that we should see in this massive move that we saw on Saturday. I don't think anybody was prepared for it. I mean, I thought it was going to be a very significant march. I had no idea it was going to be this huge. And it was. But I also looked at other things, not just the numbers. And the numbers were extremely impressive. I looked at the march, you know, I had some time to sit down and think about it. I looked at the march as a possible bridge over many, many troubled waters in this country. And it gave me hope. It made me believe that people are getting the point, that many people have come to a point of reckoning and are impelled to action because they have come to that point of reckoning. We'll talk about what you observed of the march. And, you know, we are operating, of course, from the safety and the distance from the march itself. We are home. We saw it probably on television. Most of us probably weren't there in person. But that doesn't mean that we should, you know, dismiss this as a one-shot deal. And for once, there's so much that we can gain from understanding what happened on Saturday. It is remarkable, nothing short of remarkable. And I'll get into that with you right after we hear from one of the organizers of the march. And this is way into the march. She is going to be addressing the march, and this was really the point of the march that really hit home to me. And I want to share that with you. Here's Linda Sarsour. She is one of the four major people behind this march, one of the organizers behind this march. And she used to be called, I suppose, and the New York Times once referred to her as a homegirl in a hijab. I despised that, but that's the way they referred to her, because of her affinity, her relationship across the board with different groups, especially African American activist groups. But she is the co-founder of Muslims for Ferguson, Justice League for New York City, and the Palestinian American Muslim Movement. She is quite an interesting person, but they all are, and I want to come back and talk about this march in the context of what she had to say at the march. Here is Linda Sarsour.
Assalamu alaikum, may peace be upon you, brothers and sisters. My name is Linda Sarsour, and I am one of the national co-chairs for the Women's March on Washington. I stand here before you, unapologetically Muslim American, unapologetically Palestinian American, unapologetically from Brooklyn, New York. Sisters and brothers, you are what democracy looks like. Sisters and brothers, you are my hope for my community. I will respect the presidency, but I will not respect this president of the United States of America. I will not respect an administration that won an election on the backs of Muslims and black people and undocumented people and Mexicans and people with disabilities and on the backs of women. Many of our communities, including my community, the Muslim community, has been suffering in silence for the past 15 years under the Bush administration and under the Obama administration. The very things that you are outraged by during this election season, the Muslim registry programs, the banning of the Muslims, the dehumanization of the communities that I come from, that has been our reality for the past 15 years. Sisters and brothers, if you have come here today as your first time at a march, I welcome you. I ask you to stand and continue to keep your voices loud for black women, for native women, for undocumented women, for our LGBTQIA communities, for people with disabilities. You can count on me, your Palestinian Muslim sister, to keep her voice loud, keep her feet on the streets, keep my head held high, because I am not afraid. Sisters and brothers, fear is a choice. We are the majority. We are the conscience of these United States of America. We are this nation's moral compass. If you want to know if you are going the right way, follow women of color, sisters and brothers. We know where we need to go, and we know where justice is, because when we fight for justice, we fight for it for all people, for all our communities. I want to remind you that the reason why you are here today is because mothers and yoga teachers and organizers and bakers came out to organize. Ordinary people made this happen. No corporate dollars, no money from corporations. This is your dollars. This is your work. This is you made this happen. I am honored to stand here today on the stage as a national co-chair with Tamika and Carmen, who are my sisters, but also with my family, because I organize for my mother, I march for my daughters, and all my children. But most of all, I am my Palestinian grandmother who lives in occupied territories, wildest dreams, sisters and brothers, and I'm so proud to be here with all of you. Justice for all.
Linda Sarsour speaking, addressing the multitudes that had gathered in Washington, D.C., and explaining from her point of view what the purpose and meaning of the march was all about. And it was very inspiring to listen to that for a number of reasons. I just want to point out some things that struck me. It was expected, was it not, that this would be another of white women's marching, that this was going to be another one of the women's marches, meaning white women. It was not that at all. This march, the grunt work for this march essentially was done by women of color. And that was extremely important, I think, to note. The three people included Linda Sarsour, who we just heard from. It also included Tamika Mallory from New York City. It included Carmen Perez. Carmen Perez of Mexican heritage. So this was a monumental event in that sense. It began as an idea of a woman in Hawaii on her Facebook page. And she kind of raised the idea, why don't we organize something? Her name is Teresa Shook. She's a grandmother from Hawaii. Why don't we do something about Donald Trump? Why don't we make it a point to say to the nation and to the world that we disagree? We are not signing on to your agenda at all. And then these women took this march on as organizers. They've been involved in marches for a very long time, an average of about 20 years. And they said we should all get together. But it is going to be very important that this march be led by women of color, because our problems, although we share many problems with the community of women across America and across the world, we also have distinctively different needs and different perceptions and different demands, because we are different communities. So that what you saw on the weekend came out of that way of thinking. And it was very, very comforting to see that people gave them the room to exercise their leadership without denying anybody representation, but taking instruction from people who had been, as Linda noted, this has been going on for a long time. Donald Trump is not the demon. We've been living with demons for a very, very long time. So in a way, we've become experts at this suffering, the shared suffering. And the suffering has not been adequately articulated, let alone fought for, fought against, I should say. So this was a major departure from the norm of mass movements. And it ought to be noted. Linda Sarsour, Carmen Perez, and Miss Mallory, Tamika Mallory. And this goes directly to what we've been talking about. What makes change organization? Organization and a disciplined effort and focus on what it is you are bringing attention to. Now, the word attention is going to be important here, because the media didn't pay attention. They seemed to agree that this was an anti-Trump rally, and it wasn't. It included, definitely, I don't think you'd find, or you would have found, too many Trump supporters there. But it was not an anti-Trump rally. It was a warning shot that we're fighting, we're going to fight about a whole range of issues, including Donald Trump. Because, again, I go back to Linda's speech. She said, she noted that these are problems they've been fighting for the last 15 years. And she included the Bush administration's and the Obama administration. So Obama was not left off the hook here. This was not just about, well, it's we're against Donald Trump. No, the cumulative effect is what they say they're fighting against. And that was a very important thing to note. That was very important. The media missed it entirely by saying it was an anti-Trump demonstration. And it wasn't. This means that they redefined struggle. it would have been easy for them to say, all right, this is about Donald Trump. We're going down to Washington, D.C. to really let him have it. But it was a signal of mass mobilization around a whole range of issues. So this is not a one-shot deal. We are, and this is what they're saying, we are mobilizing against a lot of evils that have been done. And by the way, we're specifically keeping an eye on this current administration as well, because we've already seen the signals of where it's going, and it is going against what we want. The media decided this was an anti-Trump campaign. I didn't see that. I saw this as a group of people mobilized after a long period of time, noticing that these critical issues were not tended to. And in some cases, they were actually created by different administrations, but she made no distinction. And that was very, very informative to me. Because that is the issue. This isn't just Donald Trump. He just came into office. We've already seen the signals. But police brutality was going on under Obama. The immigration question was going on under Obama. Mass incarceration going on under Bill Clinton. So this demonstration was a way of saying we have not decided at all that we are going to let this new administration add to our troubles. We have drawn the line, and we are serving notice that we're taking on these issues very seriously across the board. And it will include resistance to the current administration. Now, that told me that there already has been a dramatic change in mass movements. This is different. This is different. Its trajectory is different. And while we're clear that Donald Trump is going to have to deal with some massive resistance, he is not singular in this regard. We have the cumulative effect of all this stuff that we now have to deal with, in addition to Trump, that went untended during the Clinton administration, during the Bush administrations, both of them. And this tells me that this was a significant turn in mass mobilization and mass organization. It was excellent. And then we had, again, great participation, but it was led by women of color, and that mattered a hell of a lot to me. Because it said, for once, these problems are going to be at front and center, because we have been waiting way too long for a solution that just has not yet come. And we are the experts, and people will have to trust that we know what we're talking about. And therefore, if you can't adjust to people, women of color in a leadership position, then you don't belong in this movement at all. This is not for you. This is for grown folks. I like that. I liked it a lot. There were other things that I noticed about the march. We see that the march had solidarity across the country and across the world. In major cities across the globe, we had people staging sister marches, and that was fantastic. It means that people are finally getting the idea that what we are experiencing is not confined to the United States. This is a global problem. Renegade governments, fascist governments, governments posing as progressive governments, all doing the people in. But people are stepping up now and saying, I am going to take responsibility. I am going to do my part to put up some kind of a fight here in my own interests and in the interest of the global community, because we're recognizing the phenomenon. The world is becoming closer and closer and smaller because the oligarchy that is control is really very small. But the vastness of the lands that they control is huge. But if people in different parts of the world could see the commonality of suffering and exploitation and degradation and deprivation, there is a very real possibility that this thing, this new formation, can be turned around and even destroyed. Because it's not human-centered. It's not a people-centered move that is being made at the governmental level. It's about money and power. What did you observe from the march? What was your reaction? And what do you think could come from this? Just so I could finish this off, I said in the introduction that I think the march, one of the greatest things that happened with the march is that it served notice that it can be, it's how should I call it? Its model could well be a way of spanning bridges over many, many troubled waters. One of those would be that we've had trouble with white supremacy seeping into progressive movements, refusing to leave any room at all for people to come in and not only voice their views, but to have those views transform into action targeted specifically at that. It has been the history of movements, liberal movements, progressive movements. I've talked about it many times here on the program, that the attitude is, we'll do the heavy thinking, you just need to do the heavy lifting. This shot that to smithereens, and it perhaps can begin to impress upon people that there's every reason to examine yourself about leadership and your concept of leadership. If we're going to have mass movements, this is one of the things that utterly must be destroyed. It's racist, actually. And we have to confront it and destroy it. They did. At least it showed in the march. So hopefully this would encourage other sectors as they begin to consider mass action, that they also should be conscious of the fact that they are working against this model that has been around for a very long time. The other bridge that it could possibly be over troubled waters is the troubled waters of party identity. We should be beyond that by now. Well, I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. No, because the Democrats and Republicans are not distinct from each other. We become more humanist in our thinking and leave this duopoly and its vestiges aside. Just get away from it. Those are the two main things that I think immediately that could be worked on, and that the march indicated that it had dealt with. And I congratulate them. This was a great, great testimonial of everybody. Because, by the way, this wasn't just about the leadership. It was about people being educated. Educated. And it was just magnificent. We'll take this break and come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888 right after this.
Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine, shine. Oh, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine.
You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about this march and what we got out of it. I got some lessons that I thought that were so apparent, but we need to make sure that we point them out. And it is clear it wasn't an easy effort, but it was a magnificent effort. And my hat's off to everyone who participated, because it was just great. It was just absolutely great. Rob from Tampa, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice.
Hello there.
It's been a while since I've called. It's been about a year, but I've still been listening, and I had a chance to call, so I just thought I'd share my thoughts on the march.
Great. What are they?
I was at the St. Petersburg, Florida march, and the positives I took from it is there was 20,000 people there, which was a record for St. Petersburg, the largest march in the history of St. Petersburg, which I thought was great. The other positives is people were bringing up issues such as racism, patriarchy, climate change. So a lot of the issues and white supremacy that were brought up were great. It's just the one thing that made me realize we have a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. Is the solutions. A lot of people had Obama posters up chanting, "Yes, we can." So there's a lot of conversations that need to be had about what kind of solutions we should go to solve these problems. And I think what I saw a lot on social media was a lot of progressives saying that, calling people hypocrites for going and things like that. And I would just discourage that, and I would try to compare it to like making a meal, where you go to make the meal, but maybe you don't have all the ingredients you need to make the meal. So do you starve, or do you go through with the meal so you can eat? And maybe it doesn't taste the way you thought it was going to taste, but you still got to eat. And I say we work with what we got.
That's a great analogy. I like it.
So those were just my thoughts on what I observed in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Well, thank you. When you heard these conversations, where did you locate yourself within the context of everything you're hearing?
You know, I didn't want to get into debates with people because I thought now isn't the time. I use it as more of a way to observe what was going on around me and to take mental notes. And I would throw some hints out there. For instance, I was talking to somebody One of my friends who was marching, and she's gay, and she's very afraid of this administration. I mean, she was telling me that she's scared that her marriage is now going to be thrown out with Mike Pence's belief. So I sympathize with her on that, but I'd say things like, you know, we need to look at the history of how we got to this moment. We need to examine that. And she would agree, but I know she's a very avid Democrat. So I didn't want to go any further than that. I didn't want to take any joy out of people's day because it was a very uplifting event.
Yes, it was. In that sense, yes. I thought it was a very uplifting event and that there was much to learn that was actually before our eyes. And it will continue to play itself out, but it was an excellent, excellent demonstration for all kinds of reasons. Thank you so much for calling and getting us started today. Ma'at from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, Hotep, beloved family.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
I have to do it like that because the cord is pulling out. I was saying, Hotep, beloved family, love everyone dearly and deeply. I tell you, I had to listen. I mean, you know, I was pressing the rewind button because I was just so moved. I was so hardened. I was so sustained. Malika, Tamika, Mallory, she was so on point, you know, saying that this is not about your trouble now. This is something that we've been dealing with a long time. Looked like an 8-year-old of the Latina family. I mean, it was just so moving, so powerful. I felt so uplifted. One of the things that I would say that was missing, that's important. And Rob just mentioned we need to look at how we got here. So I would say we need to go back to Bush. We need to look at head on, eyes wide open, and we need to dub it the U.S. Reichstag fire because the fascism coming down is the same result. It's difficult for most people to deal with, and as a friend suggested who's transitioned, if we deal with it as the big lie and the false flag that it is, we have to do something about it. So, you know, the Patriot Act and the wholesale killing, the perpetual war, NDAA and everything, targeting whistleblowers under the SDNR, everything is related. So I think this Trump situation has been put in place by the powers that be. I didn't follow the Bilderberg group when they met last year, but it all seems to be part of a pattern. And lastly, Unique, I want to mention the other thing that wasn't mentioned was in terms of the inaugural speech. You notice God was thrown around several times at the end. I think he said about 3 times. And these far right wing nut jobs.
Worry about them. We're talking about what we saw,
the reason why
the positive
important
effect it had, and whether it encourages us now. We just have no further excuse for just sitting by the sidelines and, you know, waiting for the hammer to fall. This is what we're talking about today. But you raised some very, very important points. Thank you so much, Matt, for contributing. Let's talk to Henry from Chicago.
Hey, Sharif, how's it going?
Okay, how is it going by you?
It's going good. We had a good turnout here in Chicago as well, but you know, me, myself, I'm kind of a person who, you know, waits to see what happens because, you know, we talk about this all the time. You know, there's a difference between mobilizing and organizing, and it was a great mobilization for this. However, I always wait, how is this going to, you know, create organizations to help this movement. I know a lot of people who kind of criticized the Million Man March from 2 years ago, and I was one of those people as well. But in a sense, it was a very successful march at that time, because now I'm part of an organization that grew out of that march.
Hello.
So,
there you go.
Yes. So right now I could say the 10-10-15 march that was organized by Minister Farrakhan was a very successful march, because not only he has organizations here in Chicago, but all around the country. And we're doing things, you know, here that, you know, not going to be posted on, you know, media or Facebook or whatever. So we're quietly doing our work within the community. So I'm waiting to see, you know, what comes out of this march, you know, before I, you know, deem it as a success or a failure or, you know, whatever. So I would like to see what comes out in the next couple of, you know, months to see, you know, what happens.
Well, in the meantime, here's the thing that the march has already done. If nothing else, it raised consciousness of people that there is a very large sector of America that is dissatisfied and disaffected, and that also has been dismissed, ignored. And they are awakening. And this is a major change, and one of the biggest functions of any mass movement is to awaken people out of their unconsciousness into a state of consciousness. And hopefully, after that, you get into movement, you get into action. So yeah. It isn't just, well, we are doing this next and we're doing that next. It's already done. It already has been done. That is, the message has been communicated. Something major has happened. If it only changes people from and pushes them out of that state of unconsciousness into a state of consciousness, then it has done a good job.
Well,
I see it that way too.
Yeah, but you know, Yatrice, I've seen, you know, like, many marches and demonstrations, you know, about police brutality, but, you know, we're still getting murdered out here on the streets, and there's not one piece of legislation, well, at least here in Chicago, that is going to prevent that from happening in the future. So, you know, I'm going to try to stay positive to it, but I just really cannot, you know, say if it was success or not, you know, just because it was a very big demonstration. But, you know, like I said, we'll see. You know, we'll see what comes out of it.
But also, if you pay attention to the speeches were broader than, you know, this is what Trump is doing. They talked about all kinds of things. It almost sounded quite academic, actually, because it sounded almost like a teach-in. And I was like saying, okay, all right already. Like, you know, Angela Davis's speech alone, you know, you feel like, well, okay, after hearing that, you go up to the stage to collect your diploma. Because it was like a class. So the point I'm making is, it is a beginning, and it was an impressive show of support. In a very different way. It was presented differently. And this showed some deep thinking. And I'm so happy to know that this was a march led by really three women of color, and who, by virtue of their own experiences, were able to agitate and get other people involved in saying, look at the bigger picture. It can't be just this one thing that we're fighting. We're fighting a whole bunch of things at the same time. And it requires us to do some work ourselves. We have to climb over these historic hurdles that we've had with respect to doing mass action. You know, we still are stuck in the aftermath of apartheid, where people, even progressive people, can't easily overcome these hurdles. So this was very rewarding to see people getting that message as well. Thanks, Henry. Thanks for calling in. Ed from New York, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello. Good afternoon, Latrice. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. I didn't have the opportunity to attend the march, but I watched a lot of coverage, and I talked to some people that went to various actions in New York and Washington. All in all, it was a feel-good moment. I mean, it showed a large solidarity. It showed, I believe, most of it was focused on a common enemy, the psychopath in chief that we have now. And I feel that it showed unity. But I got to disagree with you on one point. I think the broad stroke of trying to attach everything is wrong. I think you need to focus your energies. I think the whatever organizations come out of this need to be focused on specific issues, specific topics. That way you can see real tangible results. The broad stroke is nice. There are a lot of things that we have to deal with, but everything didn't happen all at once. It took time for these situations to manifest themselves, and the only way you're going to deal with them is one piece at a time, and it's going to be a process, and that's what's got to be understood. I mean, these feel-good demonstrations, these feel-good gatherings are great, and they express the potential for a broad band of activism, but without precision, without attacking things and getting tangible goals, you're going to lose a large percentage of the people involved just through frustration. And at any time when there's a large movement, it's only a small percentage of the population that really are dedicated to it. And those are the one, and then everyone else follows behind. But you've got to have some tangible movement. You got to take over your local politics. You got to do what the Tea Party did. Take over your local politics. Take over your local offices of government. Make the changes on a ground level. Make the changes on a grassroots level. Then you'll force the federal government to do what it's supposed to do for the people.
Well, I hear you, but I disagree that this was about having a feel-good moment. I don't think people would go through all of this, and it's a lot of work just to arrange for porta potties alone. I wouldn't have wanted that job. But it wasn't really a feel-good moment. It was a very serious statement, not only about that time and space where this march or these marches occurred, but it was also a warning that other things are coming. So you have to take into consideration, you can't move people in any direction in one fell swoop. It's not going to happen. You have to, it helps if people can visualize their own power. That was the whole point of this, it seems to me. People, it has been a long time since people got used to the idea that they're powerful.
Yes.
So you give them a direct demonstration. Here's real evidence. If you can get a million people mobilized around a range of issues, but just the mere idea of getting people excited about the idea of getting together in order to do something is a major accomplishment. Especially now, since people are becoming more and more fearful of a fascistic government, they don't want to, they don't want to go up against it. So, it was instructive to anybody attending this march, wherever they attended the march, that they saw of a physical manifestation of individual power and collective power as a concept. And then they can do other things from there. But that was an instructive purpose of the march.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, like I said, it was an impressive display of unity, an impressive display of unity against what the prevailing circumstances are coming up. But all I'm saying is that out of that,
yes,
what's next? Like the other brother said, out of that, what's next? I want to see some positive goals, something that you can, something tangible that you can say, we did this, now we're moving here, now we're moving there. Because the bottom line is these politicians are not scared of us. And the only reason that they're going to do anything is when they're afraid. And if they're afraid that this system is going to collapse and bust and leave them behind, then we'll get some action for the people. Or we just bust the system. It was an impressive display, though. I'm not taking away anything from it. But I'm that's how I am. I just want to see what's next.
I get you. And then what next? What's next department, though? Where does that place you?
Well, I'm working with an organization now in Queens, where we're trying to get together and take over some political offices here. Get rid of some of these old hats like coal mine and some of the other assemblymen here that really just sit on their behinds and don't do anything. Get some new blood in there. Get some new people in there. Get some people with our agenda or my agenda in mind.
Great. Excellent. And we will be hearing from you, hopefully, as things progress on how you're doing with your mobilization there.
We're working. Right now, it's a slow start, but we're trying to be consistent, and hopefully I'll have some progress reports for you in the future.
Great. Thanks so much. Good to hear from you. Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hi. How are you too?
Okay. How are you doing?
Okay. I first would like to say positive things.
Lincoln, are we having trouble with your phone? It sounds really muffled. Are you on speaker?
Okay.
Or?
Maybe because I was on my earphone. Maybe this is this better?
Much better.
Yeah. It was good to see that so many people could be mobilized. And it's an indication that if we could truly educate the people about what the government should do, for example, setting up, making sure that all the basic needs of the people are guaranteed, and therefore setting up a system, a new political party, or the existing ones to now function on that basis rather than about party affiliation. So this is good to say that, okay, if we could educate the people and organize them, we could mobilize them towards supporting such an effort. Okay, having said that, I want to just make a quick little thing. A man is abused on his job by his employer, and he comes home and he takes it out on his family. He took it out on his, he's rough to his family, not because of his dislike for them, but he didn't even realize about his frustration about what happened on his job, how it pushed him to do something negative. I do believe that many of us are not, even we so-called progressive, and many of us who say we are dissecting the situation, are not aware of how deeply the lost, Hillary's lost of the election.
Oh, but you're way off topic. I'm surprised at you.
I'm not on the subject. No, listen to where I'm going. Hello?
Yeah, but we're also on short on time.
No. So what I'm saying is, I do believe that this, a big part of this movement came out of anti-Trump and pro-Hillary. And we are in denial if we do not accept that. And I do believe that, mostly spearheaded by black women, because black people's pain about Hillary's loss is just as great as white people's pain about Hillary's loss. And black women, too, because of the strange relationship we have developed with the Clintons. And to a great degree, if we be truthful, on some level, it was black people fronting for the Hillary administration, and we need to tackle these truths. And if this movement was so genuine, why? Hello, are you still there?
Listening.
if this movement was so genuine, I mean, Trump coming in is nowhere as outrageous as 1 million Iraqis dying at the hands of Bush. Think of that. We're not talking about 1 million flies. We're talking about 1 million Iraqi people died.
Well, this is one of the things. In fact, if you listen to the speech by Linda Sarsour, she spoke directly to this, and she made it clear. I'm a proud Palestinian woman. And her history has been one of confronting the system. This is the work that she's been doing for 20 years. So this is not a...
Hello?
I'm listening to you.
They did not plan a big mobilization like this when 1 million people died. Imagine this.
But wait a minute. We're talking about what you got out of the thing, and you're already condemning the fact that they didn't respond when A and they didn't respond B.
No, I'm not condemning it. I'm trying to show us that we've got to be careful what these things are born out of. And if what it is born out of it is not genuine, then the movement will not live. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Well, people, they know that. And because we have many people who were at the helm of this very much in tune with international struggle. That's where they come out of. So this is not a new dimension for them. This is on their home front. They know what the issues are. This was, the way I read it, this was a way to get people, to shake people up out of being, you know, so dormant. And it couldn't happen at the worst time, because what's ahead, what's coming down the pike is very heavy. And it means you can't be neutral at this time. You should have a point of view. Neutrality just is not acceptable at this time in our shared lives. So take it for what it is, what it offers. If it offers you the opportunity to re-examine just what you presented, that maybe this is a false flag operation, okay. I would disagree, but I would accept your analysis, what you think. But my feeling is that it was certainly a welcome injection. And because of the approach taken here, and it was not an anti-Trump campaign, this was a wake-up campaign. I thought it was worth looking at in that fashion. Thank you all for calling. Thanks so much. Stay tuned. Molotovs and Meditations and Molotovs with Vincent Emanuele next. We'll see each other tomorrow. A pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. Bye-bye. Let it shine.